Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online now to schedule your next appointment, and of course, to learn more about their services, it's OrthoSensi.com. I am your host, Double T Travis there. Glad to be with you here on this Monday evening, and appreciate you tuning in each and every week as we run down the latest in hometown sports. We're in that time of the year where we're still talking about some winter sports postseason awards, and we're starting to slowly get into some spring sports. So we will do a little bit of both of that on the show this evening. Also going to hit on some high school football news. The North-South All-Star Classic going to be happening over the summer. Got some representation from Southeast Indiana. We're going to talk some boys and girls basketball all-conference teams. I'm likely to hit a little bit on college basketball with the tournament fields being brought out yesterday. So we'll get into that a little bit as well. That is on the sports front. But to start off the show, incredibly tragic event from over the weekend with the passing of Carson Hughes. And I do want to take a moment to talk about Carson in this situation a little bit, because he was a student athlete at Jackson Dell High School, just 18 years young. And this is a young man that went missing or was reported missing last Friday from the Versailles Lake area. If you don't know, didn't know, he was really big into wildlife photography and very, very good at it as well. So at the time of him being reported missing, some of the search teams that were out there initially said that his kayak and truck were still on the property. His camera was still on its tripod, again, there in the Versailles Lake area. So a search ensued. It took place over the weekend. Many of volunteers, you had public safety agencies there, nonprofits, over 500 volunteers registered within a two-day period with the DNR to help with the search efforts. And his body was recovered from Versailles Lake on Sunday evening. He was pronounced dead at the scene, his body being found in 6 feet of water, and an exact cause of death was pending autopsy results. And as of this afternoon, the preliminary cause of death was determined to be probable cold water drowning. No other evidence of injury was present. The final autopsy report and cause of death are pending toxicology results. So that's all that we know right now about the passing of Carson Hughes. So with that, we're just going to kind of move on and talk a little bit about Carson as a young man. Again, 18-year-old senior from Jackson Dell High School, a three-sport student athlete. He was a member of the Ivy Tech dual enrollment student family, and as I mentioned, a wildly talented wildlife photographer. A lot of his work is circulating on Facebook. You can see it on his personal Facebook page, but many, many people have been sharing some of his work, which is just absolutely astonishing. We'll get back to that in just a moment. But three sports student athlete on the basketball team, was kind of known as a role player and a leader. In baseball, 15 hits and 88 plate appearances last year, appeared in three games as a pitcher. Again, just kind of a role guy, glue guy, great type of student athlete to have on the team as a leader. And then in soccer, a breakout season last season with 7 goals and 19 assists, 26 goal contributions. That was absolutely fantastic from Carson on the soccer pitch. And I do want to give a shout out to Rob LaFerry. This is a guy that knows sports really well, especially in the Ripley County area, as he's a journalist out there. He also works as a sports broadcaster at our sister station, Wiki Country 95.3. And he had what I thought was just a really heartfelt, genuine post about Carson. Didn't really know him personally, but like me, being a news reporter, reporting on sports, being a broadcaster, sports broadcaster, names like Carson comes across our desks all the time. We're talking about these student athletes, whether we know them personally or not. But I thought he had a very heartfelt and touching post on his Facebook page. If you get a chance to read that, I think that kind of sums up what a lot of people would like to say and think about Carson Hughes as an individual. I also came across a post that Carson made on September 6th, which marked 1 year since he first took his camera to Versailles State Park. A portion of that post read, and I quote, "This park will always have a special place in my heart. It is really what got me hooked on wildlife photography. I just want to show people what all this wonderful place has to offer." And he has certainly done that through his work, capturing anything from a bald eagle to deer to geese to many other types of wildlife that are in and around Versailles State Park. So again, this is a young man that was well-rounded, looked like he stayed very, very busy. He was big on academics and sports from what I could tell, and obviously had a passion for his photography work. So just a devastating and tragic loss, and all we can really say is our deepest heartfelt condolences go out to the Hughes family, any of their friends, anybody closely related to Carson, the Jacksonville Community School Corporation, the Osgood community, anyone from Versailles State Park that may have known Carson. Quite frankly, anybody that was impacted by this loss, our condolences go out to you, and you are certainly in our thoughts. So it is kind of hard to move on from something like this. So we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll reset, get into the rest of the show. But Carson Hughes, very, very sharp young man that is going to be dearly missed here in Eagle Country. Welcome back to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, only heard at Eagle Country 99.3 and EagleCountryOnline.com. I am your host, Double T Travis there, and the rest of the show, we're going to be talking some high school softball and baseball. Got some boys and girls basketball notes to get to as postseason awards are coming through. Going to talk a little high school football as well, even though it's out of season. We got some news there, and then going to wrap things up with some college basketball talk, because There's something that I'm very interested in, and it's not actually the NCAA tournaments. There's another tournament that I'm going to talk about that's really piqued my interest this year. But let's talk some softball right now, because I've been doing some poking around, looking to see who's going to be some of the top teams in the area, in the state, this season. And the Softball Coaches Association of Indiana has released their preseason polls, and well, I found Rising Sun ranked number 12 in the Class 1A preseason poll. This is a team that went 19-6 a year ago, 9-1 in the ORVC, taking the conference championship. They went on to win the sectional as well before losing 4-3 to Lanesville in the regional game. Just one senior last year for this Rising Sun team, so on paper, they look to be a very, very strong contender in Class 1A. That one senior from last year, Sidney Halloran, who had a really, really nice senior season, hit .328 with 8 doubles, knocked in 17 runs, and scored 21 herself. But when you look at this Rising Sun team and what they have coming back, their top four hitters from an average perspective were all freshmen last year. Ryan Works, Elena Tietkemeyer, Lily Courtney, and Lexi Morris. They all hit over 400. You also have Alyssa Simpson and Tamron Miller back, who hit over 400 as well. And Nora Powell is at 382. So you're talking about the whole lineup is a 400-type hitter. That's how they played a year ago. And then in the pitching circle, you had Tietkemeyer that went 8-4. 1.91 ERA. Alyssa Simpson was 8-1 with a 2.7 ERA. So their top two pitchers are back as well. So this is a team that is absolutely loaded. They look like they are going to be a 20-win team on paper for sure. You hope that everyone continues on an upward trajectory and all of those averages and runs batted in, all those numbers go up. You want the ERAs to come down. Very, very good team that's going to have a really nice chance to go win the sectional again, the ORVC again, and see where they can advance through the state tournament. Talk about that again here in just a second. But their first game coming up on Monday, April 1st, versus Hauser, the number 9 team in 2A. And I was looking a little further down that 1A preseason poll. Lanesville at number 6, West Washington at number 13. One of those two teams likely to come out of that sectional and would pose a threat to Rising Sun advancing further into the state tournament. But that's just a little preview of what's maybe to come way down the line If Rising Sun is to win that sectional again, it looks like they'll have one of the top teams in 1A to go through at the regional round. But pretty much across the state, once you get out of the sectional, you should be expecting that the competition is only going to go up from there. Another team that I saw ranked in the preseason that has some relativeness to our area would be Connersville, number 9 in Class 3A. They had a huge season last year, going 27-5. They were 14-0 in the EIAC. Did graduate 5 seniors, including conference MVP Sarah Rubel. She hit near 600 last year with 11 home runs, 42 runs batted in, and 62 runs scored. 4 other seniors that were quality players are gone, but they still have plenty coming back. Riley Brescher and McKenna Lucas back in the middle of the lineup. They combined for 24 home runs and 69 RBI a season ago. Brescher had 16 home runs herself last season. So those two with some big time pop in the middle of the lineup. Connersville did graduate their top 2 pitchers, but when the EIAC looks at their competition this year, they're looking up at Connersville, the reigning champ that has plenty coming back from what was a really awesome team a season ago. Let's jump to the baseball diamond. Batesville, the only area team ranked to start the season, number 9 in Class 3A in the Indiana Baseball Coaches Association preseason poll. Team that went 18-8 last year, 11-3 in the EIAC. They finished second, and they were upset by Franklin County in the sectional 7-0. That was not an indictment on Franklin County by any means, but that was a game Batesville was expecting to win. Of course, Franklin County played an excellent game, moved on in the tournament. This Batesville team, their 2 big losses to graduation, Charlie Shebler and Max Baumer, both very, very pivotal to those 18 wins. And quite frankly, those two young men were a part of a lot of wins dating back to their junior sophomore seasons as well. But they had some really big names returning this season. Jack Grunkemeyer, Northwestern commit. You got Will Geisel, who's just a junior. He's already committed to pitch at Notre Dame. And Carter Bowman had a really great season last year. Cade Kaiser, such a great athlete, part of this team as well. So Batesville, on paper, looks to be very, very strong and a player in the EIAC, and they hope to have better fortune in the sectional this go-around. But their first game will come up on Friday, March 29th, at home against Rising Sun. And I know I only mentioned a couple of teams there in softball, baseball. We're going to get to more of that as we roll along, getting closer to the start of this spring season, particularly in those two sports. So if we didn't hit on the school you are wanting to hear about, we will do a softball, baseball preview show coming up very, very soon. So stay tuned. That'll be coming within the next couple of weeks. But right now, I want to turn the attention back to the hardwood and talk about the EIAC All-Conference teams. Officially, the EIAC released all of their winter All-Conference teams earlier today. We did have the girls basketball All-Conference team sent to us a little ahead of time last week, so we went ahead and got that story out last Wednesday. Haven't got a chance to talk about it on this particular show, as it airs on Mondays, as you know. So 12 players making it onto the EIAC All-Conference team. Greensburg leading the way with 4 selections as they went 7-0, winning the conference. Claire Larrison, Miley Wilkerson, Allie Powers, and MVP Leah West. For West and Wilkerson, they finished the season as the 2nd and 3rd leading scorers in the conference. 16.4 points per game for West, 14.8 for Wilkerson. And the scariest thing about this Greensburg team is they didn't lose anybody. They're not losing anybody from this season to next. No seniors on that team, or I believe 1 senior, sorry. But nonetheless, their key players coming back next year are absolutely fantastic. They're going to be the favorite to win the EIAC and the sectional yet again. So kudos to them for having such a strong program and having 4 all-conference selections. Now, Franklin County and Batesville each had 2 all-conference selections. Nicole Mears, the leading scorer in the conference, that's a no-doubter right there. 17.9 points per game. She was joined by her Franklin County teammate, Ruby Singer, who had a really great year as a sophomore. So looking forward to seeing how her game grows junior and senior season. For Batesville, they were represented by Sophie Giselle and Allison Peters, both phenomenal players. Got a chance to see them in the sectional. I thought really highly of both of them. Giselle was one that caught my eye because she just played really, really well, particularly in that opening round contest against South Dearborn, but they're both on the all-conference team. Lawrenceburg, couple sophomores making it, Brooklyn Craig and Aubrey Labazo. Craig was fifth in scoring at almost 14 points per game. She also made the second most three-point baskets in the conference with 43. Labazo tied with South Dearborn's Natalie Cantrell for the conference lead in steals per game at 3.6 per contest. And I think Labazo, definitely known for her defense, she can provide a scoring punch as well. And when her and Brooklyn Craig are both scoring the ball really well from the Tigers' backcourt, they're very, very tough to beat. The EIAC girls basketball team was rounded out by Anaya Bennett of Connersville and Leonie Boyer of Rushville. So when you look at this team from top to bottom, a really, really great group of young ladies that can really get it done on the basketball floor. So I don't think anybody has any exception to any of those 12 names that made it onto the all-conference team. Unfortunately for South Dearborn, zero all-conference selections, even though I would think Natalie Cantrell, Bernadette Wisman, definitely some consideration there. I'd throw Gracie Messmore in the mix as well. So just some honorable mention. Even though the conference doesn't give that, I'm going to give it because I thought those three ladies played really well for South Dearborn this season. And now we'll flip the script to the boys basketball all-conference team in the EIAC. Again, 12 players being selected there. And Greensburg got the sweep of the conference championship this year. Did go down to the wire, though, for Greensburg and for many teams in the EIAC. It was really maybe the closest race I've seen in the boys EIAC in my years here at Eagle Country 99.3. I'm working on 9 years. A lot of these seasons, Greensburg and Connersville have been kind of head over heels the favorites and have run away with the conference. And that's not to say that happens every single year, but for the majority of the time I've been here in the last decade, those have been the two teams at the top of the conference. This year, it was wide open, came down to the final couple weeks of the season where there was five teams in contention with maybe like three or four conference games to go. And that kind of got whittled down. Lawrenceburg knocked off a couple of those teams, South Dearborn and Connersville, on consecutive games, I should say. And then it came down to Greensburg, East Central, and Batesville. East Central and Greensburg play the final regular season game of the season. East Central looks like they have it won. They miss some free throws down the stretch. It goes to overtime. Greensburg wins the game and the outright EIAC title. Had East Central won, it would have been split between those three teams that I just mentioned. But Greensburg winning the conference behind three all-conference selections, Jack McKenzie, Drew Busick, and Addison Barnes-Pettit. Busick was the leading scorer in the conference when you're talking about conference games. He was at 14 points per game, and his three-point percentage in conference game was like 65%. Absolutely ridiculous how great of a shooter he is and was during conference games. Now, Batesville and Lawrenceburg, three all-conference selections as well. Batesville, the sectional champs, behind junior Cade Kaiser and senior Sam Johnson and Jack Grunkemeyer. Kaiser was the league MVP. He averaged 11 points, 5.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and a steal and a half per conference game. So, young man that really fills up the box score, the stat sheet. Great at blocking shots, too, with that 6'4 frame, long arms, very athletic. Great defensive player and can basically get to the rim at will. He's coming back next year as a senior. Wouldn't be surprised if he averages somewhere in the 16 to 18 point per game range, maybe even 20. He's that kind of player. Really, really good. Sam Johnson, he averaged close to 14 points per game in conference matchups. Grunkemeyer was pretty much a walking double-double. Those three really heading up the success of this Bulldog team this season. Absolute no doubt all-conference players, just like the three from Greensburg, from Lawrenceburg. Same can be said here. Charlie Meyer, senior, and two juniors, Cooper Bobo and Noah Kaniga. All three of these guys, pretty consistent all year long. Meyer averaging close to 11 points per game and 6 rebounds in EIAC matchup. So he stepped up his game in the games that mattered the most. For Noah Kaniga, one of the top defenders in the conference, he also averaged close to 10 points per game and 5 rebounds. And then for Bobo, 9 points per game, 3 assists in EIAC matchups. So a willing passer of the ball. He's a great passer, especially when they get into high-low situations. Just a well-rounded player, and I wouldn't be shocked to see that point per game average well above 9 points during his senior season. He is a really, really good player that's got a lot of potential. All-conference team rounded out by South Dearborn's Brody Tiki and the EC duo of Carson Pazonka and Dylan Maxwell. When you're talking about Tiki and Pazonka, you're talking about two of the top scorers in the conference. Tiki was fifth in the conference at 12.6 points per game. His average was higher than that throughout the whole regular season, averaged close to 2 steals per game. Pretty pesky defender, a really great shooter, a good leader on the floor as well. Really took the freshman players under his wing this year, along with some of his fellow seniors like Hudson Shackelford and Adam Kunkel. But Tiki, looking to play some college ball. I know he went on some recent visits, so we're kind of tracking his progress, seeing where he may land. Carson Pazonka, just a junior, averaged close to 13 points per game during conference matchups. He was 10th in assist at about 2.5. And very, very good player. He can get you 20 on any given night. So EIAC team's going to have to continue to figure out how to try to slow him down, as he's still got one more season to go. And then Dylan Maxwell, what a great football player. We're going to talk about him here again in just a moment. But on the basketball floor, very, very well-rounded. 10 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, a conference-high 4 assists, and almost 2 steals per game during conference matchups. And a young man that he doesn't take a lot of bad shots. He just tries to get to the rim, doesn't turn the ball over a ton. Obviously has a nose for scoring the basketball and finding his teammates, getting them good shots. They had some really good three-point shooters this year in Selhorst and Hofer and Richter. So that's an offense you would love to play in if you're Dylan Maxwell and you're going to have the ball in your hands quite a bit. So really, really great senior season for Dylan Maxwell. So that's a great EIAC team. And I was kind of talking with some of the boys here at Eagle Country, Justice and Charlie, and we were just kind of thinking about how fun it might be to have an EIAC versus ORVC all-conference game. That's both for girls and boys. I just think it would be fun. I'm not picking sides, saying how it would go. Certainly the EIAC schools are bigger than the ORVC schools, but when you get all this great talent into one team, I think they would be some. There'd be some really excellent basketball. That's all I'm saying. It's fun to think about. We'll keep it at that. We are going to move on and talk briefly about some high school football, and then I'll get into some final thoughts about college basketball to round out the show this evening. So I've made mention of this a couple times on the air during my regular show, but 3 high school football stars from the area going to be on the South team at the annual North-South All-Star Classic when it happens on July 12th at Decatur Central High School in Indianapolis. You got East Central offensive tackle Noah Schneider, who's going to play at UIndy, and running back Dylan Maxwell, linebacker as well, but chosen as they will join Milan's tight end Ethan Pierce on the South team. And head coach Jake Miners of the East Central Trojans is going to serve on that South coaching staff. So some great representation from Southeast Indiana on the South team. Of course, Schneider, what a rock he's been on the Trojans offensive line basically since his freshman season. Big part of them winning 2 state championships in a row, paved the way for over 4,500 rushing yards this past season. Of course, they scored 69 touchdowns on the ground. Maxwell, who created a dynamic duo in the backfield with Mr. Football Josh Ringer, didn't get the ball nearly as much as Josh, but still had 729 yards and 5 touchdowns. He was a very, very tough runner. As soon as teams started seeing him breaking off 10, 15-yard runs at a time, they must have just wanted to walk off the field, because if Ringer wasn't getting it, you would think, well, the next guy's probably not as good as him. We can stop this guy. what couldn't be further from the truth. Dylan Maxwell was as hard-nosed a runner as you would see across the state of Indiana, so it was impossible to stop East Central. I think everybody that watched them play throughout the season knew that they were going to mow over everybody and win the state championship just as they did. And then shout-out to Ethan Pierce. This is a young man that made All-State twice from Milan as a tight end. They don't pass the ball a whole bunch or haven't the last couple of seasons. They sometimes do have a passing team, but they've been more run-based here as of late. So while he's not making a huge impact in the receiving game, he has been a tremendous blocker. Milan ran for over 3,100 yards last season, and Pierce was a big part of that. So Friday, July 12th, Decatur Central High School. You want to see those three young men play one more high school football game. They will be on the South team, so that should be a lot of fun. All right, got a few more minutes to get through talking about some college basketball, because let's be frank, this is crunch time from Eagle Country 99.3 in the state of Indiana, and basketball is pretty big here. We also got a ton of UK fans in the area, so it's relevant to our area. The NIT might be more relevant. I'll get to that in just a second. But the men's tournament, the field coming out last night, really the local flair, Purdue, UK, Dayton. That's really about it. Nobody else of regional interest made the tournament or is playing in the NIT. So if you're a fan of one of those three teams, kudos to you. Purdue and UK should have a pretty good shot of making a deep run. UK, three seed, pretty tough region if you ask me. Marquette being the two seed, Houston the one. Those are going to be some tough teams to go through should they all get that far. But UK can really score the basketball, so I'm not going to count them out against anybody. They can put up 90, 100 on any given night. There's not a whole lot of teams in college basketball that can do that. So I'm going to skip straight to my final four predictions. I'm going defending champion UConn versus North Carolina. I like Houston to come out of that region with Kentucky. They've just been really, really consistent all year long. And I'm going to go Tennessee. I like their depth. I think they got a chance to make it to that final weekend. But I believe UConn over Houston will be the national title game, and UConn will repeat as the champ. I just don't see anybody that is as strong as the Huskies. So there you have it. There's my prediction. If you want to use that for whatever pool you're getting into, have at it. I wouldn't recommend it. I'm probably not going to do all that well. Want to touch on the women's tournament as well. I think this is going to be really, really fun. And my final four there, I got South Carolina taking on Stanford, and then Iowa and UConn for two reasons. One, Iowa and UConn are two of the best teams in the country, but Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers in a Final Four game, I think anybody would sign up to watch that game because those are two of the biggest stars in college basketball, men or women. And then South Carolina, just think they're the best team. I'll take them over Iowa just because I'd like to see Caitlin Clark playing in the championship game. This is a young lady that's eventually going to be playing for the Indiana Fever, who have the number one pick in the WNBA draft. So if you're rooting for some other team, if you're an IU fan or you're an Ohio State fan, maybe like Notre Dame women's basketball, these are all teams that are pretty high seeds in the tournament. Maybe you're not necessarily rooting for Iowa, but you're from Indiana. I don't know where I'm going with this, but you're going to be a Caitlin Clark fan when she comes to play for the Fever, because I can tell you, I can already feel a buzz about this. The ticket sales are going to go crazy in that city for just because people are going to want to see her play. She is that type of talent. So I'm kind of rooting for Iowa a little bit. I'd love to see Ohio State make it. I think their team's excellent, but they're in a bracket with UConn, and UConn's just kind of been there, done that. So the women's tournament is going to be fascinating. If I had to rank it right now, the NIT is at the top of my list, of the women's tournament and then the men's tournament. And you might be thinking I'm crazy talking about the NIT, but the appeal is there. Multiple teams from the region in the field: Indiana State, Xavier, UC, Ohio State, and Butler. The two semifinal games and championship going to be played at Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Incredible venue. Potential fun matchups include Xavier and Ohio State in the quarterfinals. Could see Indiana State host Butler in round two. One of those two teams could play UC in the quarterfinals. And then let's think about these potential championship games. Xavier and UC, NIT Championship, Hinkle Fieldhouse. Who says no to that? That would be absolutely wild. Xavier could also play Butler or Indiana State. I don't see, Thad Mata coaching at Butler. used to coach at Xavier. There's your tie-in there. Indiana State University. Have you seen the Avila kid play? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the nickname. He's absolutely awesome. So some intrigue there. How about Ohio State taking on UC in the championship game? These are two teams that don't often play in men's college basketball. Ohio State and Butler. Again, Thad Matta against a former team that he coached in Ohio State. Or maybe Indiana State makes it into the championship game. I think the NIT is absolutely fascinating, and I'm going to be locked in tomorrow night watching my Buckeyes because, well, they didn't make the big tournament, so might as well root for them in the little one, the NIT, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. But it is a fun time of the year. If you love basketball, I would recommend watching all three of these tournaments, both men and women, the NIT as well. There's going to be some really, really great games happening the rest of this month and into April, so I mean, if you're a basketball fan, you got to love this time of the year. Baseball is getting ready to start up in a couple of weeks. If you're an FC Cincinnati fan, they're off to a good start, winning yesterday 2-1 against New England. The Masters is coming up in the world of golf. So this is one of my favorite times of the year. I'll throw WrestleMania in there as well. I don't know if you count that, but I do. So I'm very much looking forward to the next several weeks. Lots of great sports. We'll talk about some of it here on Crunch Time, but we will stick primarily to high school sports, which, again, we have done here this evening, just sprinkling in some other fun stuff that is relevant. So thank you so much for listening to the show this evening. Appreciate you tuning in each and every Monday or downloading the podcast over at EagleCountryOnline.com. We'll do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com.